Blog Talk Radio. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Our guest, Corky Kessler Esquire, is a leading film attorney who works for Deutsch, Levy & Ingalls. He discusses legal issues, marketing and distribution of films, and has extensive experience in the entertainment industry on a worldwide basis. Corky regularly speaks on the business and legal aspects of feature film development, including tax incentives. And Carol, Corky is also a generous donor to your Roy Dean Film Grant, right?
Yes, he is, Claire. He supports independent filmmakers. And thank you so much, Corky, for joining us.
It's my pleasure always, Claire and Carol. You are two people that make sure that these filmmakers know what they were doing. And Carol, your book on funding and all the books that you've done are a tremendous value to filmmakers all over the world.
Oh, how kind of you. Thank you so much for that. Well, Corky, I know that you're invited to China often, sometimes to speak and sometimes to work for them. So could you tell us about your contacts with China?
Well, all right. So I've been an adjunct professor at the Beijing Film Academy, and from time to time I go to China to teach at their film academy. And I also was a speaker on Beijing's International Film Festival. And I got, for the last few years, to know some of the heads of the Chinese government, some of the biggest funding sources and institutions there, the China Film Group, that's a government organization that funds and distributes films from the government standpoint, and these people have become friends of mine, and some of them have even been at my house for Thanksgiving.
And oh, how lovely.
So at the end of the day, in 2 years, the box office revenue for China will be bigger than the United States. So if you're in the independent film world and you don't view China as someone, you know, people that you want to get to know, you are losing out greatly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're saying the box office revenue in China will be larger than that in the United States?
Exactly.
And is it going to be for American films as well as Chinese films?
It's the box office, yes. It's the box office in China for their films, for the United States movies. Just their box office is going to be greater than the United States in gross revenue within the next couple of years.
My gosh. So people are really going to the movies in China.
Yes. And it's Beijing is the film capital and where the China government is, and Shanghai is the television part.
So Beijing is where you go most of the time.
Right.
So
I'm probably
going
to go there again.
Oh, I'm sure that we'd love to hear more about that when you do. But they are buying feature films or co-producing with America if it works with their guidelines?
Yes, it does. But it can't be a political movie. It can't be a government movie. It can't be a gay or lesbian movie.
Okay. No political, no gay and lesbian. So, well, what about anything that has a history or part of the story is in China, and it makes China look good? Would that work?
Yes. Okay. So,
how do you co-produce movies that fit within that criteria? Tell us about this.
Yeah, I mean, so it happens to be great. Yeah, it happens to be a place where if people want to congregate. But what happens is you cannot consider them as allies or friends or people who do business on your first visit. You've got to culture the friendship.
Right. Oh, the Chinese want to know who you are first. I know that.
Right, right, right. And it takes time.
Yes, it takes a lot of time because they're very leery of Westerners. I mean, in general, and I'm sure that there's reason for that, that they've been taught to be careful. But once you get to know them, they are lovely people. So once you get to know them, then they would take the time to look at a proposal you sent. Is that what, how it works?
Yes. It takes you can't get it done when you first when you first meet them, and you have to know their customs. But what happens is you're not going to do it over emails. You're not going to do it over phone calls. You got to be there
and look them in the eye and talk to them.
Right.
To close
right.
it. Yeah.
So right.
Do you have to get this script approved by the government? How does that work?
You do. You have to. It's the China Film Group that gives it the approval, and they have to stamp that it satisfies and can be a co-production, which means they fund part of it and your investors in the United States or wherever fund part of it.
And have you been part of a film that's co-funded by China?
Yeah, I'm doing one soon that's called Father John. And it happens to be based on a State Department individual who took him over to China. So it's the perfect film because the person who plays the part of the State Department goes over to Beijing and needs the help of the inspector of their police department to help solve a drug and trafficking crime spree that comes from the United States to China.
That sounds like a good action movie.
Right.
Great. So does it take, is it a long process to get this script approved?
It depends who submits it. A few years ago, I was at the American Film Market, and the headlines in the Variety was talking about what a sort of maze that people went to get a co-production stamped, approved, or any action on it, and how the process was filled with delay, and problems. So, I take the Variety that has this as a headline on the front page, and I take it down to my friend who runs the China Film Group. And I said to him, how do I answer what's in the paper? And he said to me without hesitation, look, these people come over and think they can control what we do. The difference is, Corky, you come, you give a project that could be stamped co-production. I walk 30 feet, I get the stamp, I mark it approved, and you're on your way. They come, and they think they can control what we do, and they're going to wait.
Oh, my gosh, that makes sense. It's who you know, I guess. It's the same old adage, and that's how Hollywood works anyway.
Yeah, so, I do all the U.S. work on films all over the world. I'm going to Monte Carlo and to Cannes, and I've got all these people from all over the world that want to meet with me to talk about doing their United States part of their movies.
Oh, so you'll help them produce the U.S. section.
Right.
You'll do the paperwork for them, right?
Right. When they need work in the United States, they will come to me.
Well, tell us about the Monte Carlo event.
I am leaving Saturday to go to Monte Carlo because I and a few other people organized a major three-day event right before Cannes. And Monte Carlo is about a 40-minute ride from Cannes. So people, before they go to Cannes, could spend 3 days in Monte Carlo. And what we have done is we've brought financing people who finance movies from all over the world to come to Monte Carlo to spend 3 days in a boot camp kind of atmosphere to network and talk and begin dialogue and relationships with filmmakers from all over the world.
Wow. So will people be able to have contact with the financiers? Filmmakers can see the financiers?
They're going to spend 3 days with them.
And can they pitch them, their projects?
They certainly can.
Oh, Karki, that's going to be exciting.
It's the first ever interactive event.
And what countries would be coming?
Oh, okay. Mandela's grandson, who's fun. So we've got South Africa. We've got France. We've got Germany. We've got Italy. We've got Spain. We've got Monte Carlo. We've got Nice. We've got New York. We've got Utah. And we've got a lot.
Wow, that sounds great. So what you expect is that these two groups can get together, and out of this, more funding can be made on more films, correct?
Right, right. And then when I go to Cannes, and on the 14th in the afternoon, I'm going to moderate 6 panels that are streamed live all over the world, and I'll give the audience a site in 1 minute. It's www.canesco, CANNESECO.com. So it's ECO.com.
Okay.
And they can go on live. It starts at 1 o'clock France time on the 14th. So France is ahead by 6 hours.
Okay.
Depending on where you are. 6 hours from Chicago, and then you could figure out. And you can go to that site online, and you can start asking questions.
That's exciting. Okay, give us that name one more time. CANNESCO?
No, www.CANNESECO.
ESECO. Got it. Canesco. Okay.
Okay, CANNES, as in Sam, ECO, yes, .com.
Okay, so then people can go there and they can start sending in their questions for you now.
Yes, and they can.
That'll be answered at the event. So who's on the panel? Do you know some
people? Well, if you go to the site, they'll be able to see. Forget the pictures that they see, because those pictures are going to change, because we've got different speakers. The pictures that you see on the site are from previous ones, but the actual panels, you'll be able to see who is on them.
Who's on the panels? They're listed on the site. Great.
There are several. We've got a pitch panel where people pitch me and one other person their projects, and we talk about the art of the pitch. We've got a development panel, how to get out of development hell. We have pre-sale and funding. We have a worldwide incentives, and so we have a lot of panels.
Wow, worldwide incentives. I'd love to hear about that one, because a lot of the countries in Europe and around the world, in South Africa, too,
right. So
they give good incentives.
We have people from South Africa. We have me. We have a couple other countries. And we talk about incentives.
Oh, my gosh, that's so educational. Anybody who misses the event, is that recorded? Is that streaming live, too?
It's streaming live all over the world, and then once it's edited, it'll be on that site. And then in past years, Bloomberg has televised it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, because that we all need to know. But plus, I'd love how to get out of pre-production hell. Is that what you call it?
Development, yeah.
Development.
And we have a panel. We have a panel on pre-sales. We have a panel on banking. I mean, there are a lot of panels.
Oh my gosh, that's so wonderful for filmmakers. So tell us how people can reach you if they want to know more about Monte Carlo or Cannes or any of the things we've talked about.
They can reach me at my email, which you have. But I'll give it again, is Kessler, K-E-S-S-L-E-R, at D as in David, L as in Larry, E as in Egg, C as in Charlie, .com. So Kessler at D-L-E-C.com. Or they can call me at my direct line at work, which is 312-853-8448. Or they can call me on my cell, which is 312-925-2110, or they can contact you or Claire and get that information.
Right. Okay. Well, first I want to go back to Havana. I know you just came back from that film festival. Tell me how that was.
So in December, last December, I was invited to speak at the Havana International Film Festival. First of all, I didn't even know that they had a festival. But this was their 37th year in Havana, Cuba, and it's the first time ever they allowed United States movies to be part of their International Film Festival. And parenthetically, I'm going back again at the beginning of December to do it again. And Cuba... people should go there before it really changes, because when the Americans come in and bring in the banks and the hotels, it's going to change the complexion of this beautiful, beautiful city. We had a great time. We went to the Tropicana Club, which was the fight in the Bay of Pigs, was literally where the syndicate wanted to take back the Tropicana Club in Cuba, because the syndicate ran the Tropicana Club. And Frank Sinatra and all these singers went, and all these dancers, and it was the club to go. Bay of Pigs never happened because they didn't have the air support that Kennedy promised them. Syndicate was not very happy, and the Bay of Pigs did not result in the syndicate coming back. So Castro came in. He threw Bacardi, that was supplying all of the rum, which a bottle of which was put on each table at the Tropicana Club, which is outdoors, Carol. It's the most magnificent outdoors. And they kicked out Bacardi, and they brought in their own. So a bottle of rum is on your table, and you sit there, and you're mesmerized by the stars in the sky and these dancers and these singers coming out.
Oh.
Then I got hired to do a movie there while I was there on the Tropicana Club. So it's an amazing thing. And then I went to Hemingway's farm and saw the boat that he was in when he thought of and began to write Old Man in the Sea. And it was an amazing trip.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds wonderful. Well, I hear that the food is fabulous and that the people are warm and friendly. Is that true?
The food was fabulous. The hotel was great. You can smoke cigars in any place you want in Cuba, in any hotel. I went. We had a tour of the cigar factory, which was amazing.
It was great.
Just a fabulous 5-day trip.
Oh, I'm so glad you got to go and have some fun. Well, and you are taking on this film now. What's it about?
It's about the dancers who and the people who were part of the Tropicana Club in the years past when the syndicates still ran it. And it's about showing these girls started dancing when they were 13, and they were given unbelievable fancy clothing. They were bought cars. They were treated like the elite of the elite. And now most of them are in their 70s, and they live in Miami, and we've talked to all of them and taken down and filmed the interviews with a bunch of them, and we're going to do a feature on the Tropicana Club from a historical and from a narrative standpoint.
That should be very colorful and engaging. And yes, you want to do that before that place changes and becomes too commercial. You're right.
Yeah. So, and then at some point we have to. Okay. So my panels are changing it. Okay. So the situation is that I'm going to be talking at Cannes and in Monte Carlo about the United States incentive during those times. And I'm going to talk all over the world at Cannes streaming about the United States incentive when we talk about incentives. Because we're the only incentive that I know about that allows 25% of the service wages in the budget to be spent in any foreign country in the world, and you still qualify for 181, the federal incentives.
So that should bring in foreign money. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and this is probably the last year, Carol, that 181 will be around. So people should sharpen their pencils and pens and take advantage of this, because when it's gone, it's gone.
So they need to learn how to grandfather their film into the 181, right?
Right. If they are grandfathered by the end of this year, they're going to be 181 forever. There's no end date as long as they're grandfathered. And to be grandfathered, as you already know, it takes a screenplay, it takes a summary budget, it takes all the investor documents that I prepare, but you don't need investors, and one day of photography with some dialogue. All can change. The one day doesn't have to be in the film, but it should come from the screenplay that I have, or teleplay, a television project, in my file. It's very fluid, but you have to do those things before the end of this day, year, and then you can sit and wait to get funding whenever you want. And you have to make sure that you have an accountant that knows about 181, because the accountant does not elect 181 on the first tax return for the does not elect for the first tax return for the film, then you can't use 181. You can't go and amend a tax return.
Okay, so you have to have a good lawyer who knows it and a good accountant who can make
sure
your taxes are right.
So if they contact me, I'll be able to tell them who is the best one that I know, and he happens to be in Los Angeles.
Oh, good. All right. Well, let me ask you about this online financing of films. I know that is, you can use the 181 with that too, right?
All right.
Well, where does it stand today? It's been delayed so long.
What, 181?
No, the online financing of films, where the government says that you can now go online and start financing
your
films.
Right. If you do a private placement memorandum, and I'm only going to be talking about if you're trying to raise capital for your movie or television project or slate of movies, not the crowdfunding portion of the investment, which is a separate vehicle. But for what I'm talking about, if you have a private placement memorandum and you're only going after accredited investors, and if you do some degree of verification of the people that are going to invest that are accredited, and that for that I get their accountants just to verify it. I don't need to see any financials. And then if you do both of those things, you can publicly solicit, market, and advertise your investment documents and investment opportunities, where historically under the SEC you could never, ever, ever do that. And now you can. And what's very interesting, the states that prohibited that now have to change it because now it's allowed.
Oh, I see. So it's a big change for everyone.
Oh, right. And there are certain filing requirements and stuff, and the cost to do everything to do this could be anywhere between $15,000 and $25,000 or $30,000, but you're able to publicly do stuff that you could never do before.
Right. You can do crowdfunding, and you can go after, or you could say things online that you could never say before, right?
Right.
So it can bring you money, but it's a big expense, but it's just part of the expense of making a film, really.
Right. So people have to understand, which I think that they do, that the film business is a business. It runs on business principle, and there is a cost to do business. And by the way, a 181, the federal incentives under 181, for the first time ever, when it last got extended, covers theater also.
Oh, really? So explain that.
Well, you could still get the same benefits for certain high-level theater projects. It's not for the smaller ones, but for the bigger ones.
So if it is a play that you're producing, you can use the 181 for a larger play.
Right. There are certain requirements for the number of seats and stuff, but yeah.
Oh, that's exciting too. Well, all right, let me just get some questions about the 181. The filmmakers, can they use the 181 along with state incentives, both?
Oh, my God, they can. Yes. In fact, if you package them both, which a lot of people do, you could promise your investors a recovery of their money in 50 to 77 cents on every dollar, regardless of any sale. It's the only business in the country that you can do that.
That would be because most of the 181 people would be getting a 35% write-off, right?
All right, right.
And then you would have to add in your state money, which could vary from state to state, but it could be up to 77%, right?
Right.
And you can say that to an investor, that you're guaranteed for 77% of your income to be returned based on these numbers.
It's a recovery. Part is federal, part state giving dollars back, but it depends on our what state.
Which state it is. Well, where is it trending now? Which are the hottest states for shooting?
Do it in Louisiana, you can do it in Georgia, you could do it really states that have a minimum of 20%.
Uh-huh. I hear a lot. People were shooting in Louisiana a lot recently, and they have what, a 35% deduction?
Right.
Okay. Do you know how much Georgia is?
Well, if you pick a... if you put a picture of the Georgia peach in your credits, you get another 10%. So it's about 30%. Louisiana is 35 or 30.
those are good numbers.
Right.
And they, and well, I know that Louisiana has very good crews to hire. Do they also in Georgia? Are they covered?
Uh-huh.
That's good. Well, all right, let's talk about just a few more questions on the 181. When do the productions need to commence to qualify for the incentives?
There's no end date. You do have to do one day with some dialogue from your screenplay before the end of this year, but after that, there's no end date.
So they could, it could be 5 years if it took them 5 years to raise the money.
It could be 6 years. It could be 7 years. It could be 8 years. It's when they get the money. It doesn't matter.
Okay. And can the immediate write-offs be taken in more than 1 year?
If they have the benefits and they can't use it all, you can do an amended tax return 2 years back, or carry what you don't use forward up to 22 years.
Wow. That's incredible. And does it apply to all productions, even big budget productions?
Yes, it does. And there's no floor. It could be a $100 movie, $200 movie, but the max you can expense for each movie is 15 or 20 million per movie, and 15 or 20 million per episode for television times 44 episodes.
Wow. Those are big budgets. And are the studios taking advantage of this that you know of?
As far as I know, no.
That's amazing. Well, I think it's a boon for filmmakers.
But it's
complicated. So you need a good attorney. You really have to know what you're doing.
Well, yeah, but I've been very active in this since 1992, and it was first passed into law in October of 2004.
I think that's when I met you, 2004.
Yeah, so if people have done movies or television projects since November of 2004 and they haven't known about this, then they should fire their lawyer and fire their accountant. I don't care who they hire.
Absolutely right. Okay. Well, first of all, we're all going to be listening to you and doing the download so we can see you and listen to some of the information over there. But give us one more time. Please let us know how to reach you.
Okay. Kessler, K-E-S-S-L-E-R, @ D as in David, L as in Larry, E as in Edie, C as in Charlie.com, or direct line 312-853-8448, or cell 312-925-2110.
Thank you, Corky, for sharing all this information with us. We sincerely appreciate it, and we thank you because you're always so good with filmmakers. It's a joy to work with you.
And Carol, I want to tell again, for anyone that's on this or has been on this or hears this, Carol Dean is probably your best friend and ally you could have in the independent film world. So all of you should really get to know Carol.
Thank you, Corky. How kind of you. And I feel the same way about you. I really love working with you and learning from you. Every time, it's more to learn. So good luck on your trip. And we'll talk to you later in the year so we can hear more.
Thank you, Carol. And Claire, if you're on this, thank you for allowing this to happen. And I'm always here to help both of you in any way I can.
Oh, Corky, okay. I appreciate that. See you again soon, okay?
All right, thanks, ladies.
Good. Best of luck. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Be well, everyone. Be well.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.